of Pharaoh's gifts.
A throne, in exchange for his silence and sway.
Promise Kier nothing you care about,
Rhys said, waving a hand in dismissal.
Aerys just rose to his feet. We'll see.
A frown at Moore as he drained his wine and set down the goblet.
I'm surprised you still can't control yourself around him. You had every emotion written right on that pretty face of yours.
Watch it, Asriel warned.
Aerys looked between them, smiling faintly, secretly, as if he knew something that Asriel didn't.
I wouldn't have touched you, he said to Moore, who blanched again.
But when you fucked that other bastard. A snarl ripped from Rhys's throat at that, and my own. I knew why you did it.
Again, that secret smile that had Moore shrinking.
Shrinking? So I gave you your freedom, ending the betrothal in no uncertain terms. And what happened next?
Asriel growled. A shadow crossed Aerys' face.
There are a few things I regret. That is one of them. But perhaps one day, now that we are allies, I shall tell you why. What it cost me.
I don't give a shit, Moore said quietly. She pointed to the door. Get out. Aerys gave a mocking bow to her. To all of us.
See you at the meeting. In 12 days.
Chapter 27. We found Nesta and Amren waiting outside the throne room, both of them looking pissy and tired. Well, that made 6 of us. I didn't doubt Kier's claim about the mirror, and risking gazing into it. None of us could afford it. To be broken, driven mad, none of us. Not right now. Perhaps the bone carver had known that, had sent me on a fool's errand to amuse himself. We didn't bother with goodbyes to the Whispering Court as we winnowed to the house, to Valaris, the peace and beauty that now felt infinitely more fragile. Cassian had come off the roof at some point to join Lucian in the sitting room. The books from the wall spread on the low-lying table between them. Both got to their feet at the expressions on our faces. Cassian was halfway to Moore when she whirled on Rhys and said, "Why?" Her voice broke, and something in my chest cracked too, at the tears that began running down her face. Rhys just stood there, staring down at her, his face unreadable. Watching as she slammed her hands into his chest and shouted,
"Why?"
He yielded a step.
"Aerys found Asriel. Our hands were tied. I made the best of it."
His throat bobbed.
"I'm sorry."
Cassian was sizing them up, frozen halfway across the room, and I assumed Rhys was telling him mind to mind, assumed he was telling Amren and perhaps even Lucian and Nesta from their surprised blinks. Moore whirled on Asriel.
"Why didn't you say anything?"
Asriel held her gaze unflinchingly, didn't so much as rustle his wings.
"Because you would have tried to stop it, and we can't afford to lose Kier's alliance and face the threat of Aerys." "You're working with that prick?"
Cassian cut in, whatever catching up now over, apparently. He moved to Moore's side, a hand on her back. He shook his head at Asriel and Rhys, disgust curling his lip.
"You should have spiked Aerys's fucking head to the front gates."
Asriel only watched them with that icy indifference. But Lucian crossed his arms, leaning against the back of the couch.
"I have to agree with Cassian. Aerys is a snake."
Perhaps Rhys had not filled him in on everything then, on what Aerys had claimed about saving his youngest brother in whatever way he could, of his defiance.
"Your whole family is despicable,"
Amryn said to Lucien from where she and Nesta lingered in the doorway. That Eris may prove a better alternative. If he can find a way to kill Baranoff and make sure the power shifts to himself.
I'm sure he will,
Lucien said. But Mor was still staring at Rhys, those silent tears streaming down her flushed cheeks.
It's not about Eris, she said, voice wobbling. It's about here.
She waved a hand to the townhouse, the city.
This is my home, and you're going to let Kyr destroy it.
I took precautions, Rhys said,
an edge to his voice I had not heard in some time.
Many of them, starting with meeting with the governors of the palaces, and getting them to agree never to serve, shelter, or entertain Kyr or anyone from the Court of Nightmares.
Mor blinked. Cassian's hand moved to her shoulder and squeezed.
They have been sending out the word to every business owner in the city,
Rhys went on.
Every restaurant and shop and venue. So Kyr and his ilk may come here, but they will not find it a welcoming place. Or one where they can even procure lodgings.
Mor shook her head as she whispered.
He'll still destroy it.
Cassian slid his arm around her shoulders, his face harder than I'd ever seen it, as he studied Rhys, then Asriel.
You should have warned us.
I should have,
Rhys said, though he didn't sound sorry for it. Asriel just remained a foot away, wings tucked in tight and siphons glimmering. I stepped in at last.
We'll set limitations on when and how often they come.
Mor shook her head, still not looking anywhere but at Rhys.
If Amarantha were alive?
The words slithered through the room, darkening the corners.
If she were alive,
and I offered to work with her, even if it was to save us all,
how would you feel?
Never. They had never come this close to discussing what had happened to him. I approached Rhys's side, brushing my fingers against his. His own curled around mine.
If Amarantha offered us a slim shot at survival,
Rhys said, his gaze unflinching,
then I would not give a shit that she made me fuck her for all those years.
Cassian flinched.
The entire room flinched. If Amarantha showed up at that door right now,
Rhys snarled, pointing toward the foyer entry,
and said she could buy us a chance at defeating Hybern, at keeping all of you alive, I would thank the fucking cauldron.
Mor shook her head, tears slipping free again.
You don't mean that.
I do.
Rhys.
But the bond, the bridge between us, it was a howling void, a raging dark tempest. Too far. This was pushing them both too far. I tried to catch Cassian's gaze, but he was monitoring them closely, his golden brown skin unnaturally pale. Asriel's shadows gathered close, half veiling him from view, and Amryn. Amryn stepped between Rhys and Mor. They both towered over her.
I kept this unit from breaking for 49 years, Amryn said, eyes flaring bright as lightning.
I am not going to let you rip it to shreds now.
She faced Mor.
Working with Kyr and Eris is not forgiving them, and when this war is over, I will hunt them down and butcher them with you, if that is what you wish.
Mor said nothing, though she at last looked away from Rhys.
My father will poison this city.
I will not allow him to, Amryn said. I believed her. And I think Mor did, too. For the tears that continued sliding free, they seemed to shift somehow.
Amryn turned to Rhys, whose face had now edged toward devastation. I slid my hand through his, I see you, I said, giving him the words I'd once whispered all those months ago. And it does not frighten me.
Amryn said to him, You're a sneaky bastard. You always have been and likely always will be.
But it doesn't excuse you, boy, from not warning us. Warning her, not where those two monsters are involved.
Yes, you made the right call, played it well, but you also played it badly.
Something like shame dimmed in his eyes.
I'm sorry.
The words, to Moore, to Amryn. Amryn's dark hair swayed as she assessed them. Moore just shook her head at last. More acceptance than denial. I swallowed. My voice rough as I said, This is war. Our allies are few and already don't trust us. I met each of them in the eye. My sister, Lucian, Moore, and Asriel and Cassian. Then Amryn. Then my mate. I squeezed his hand at the guilt now sinking its claws deep into him.
You have all been to war and back, when I've never even set foot on a battlefield. But I have to imagine that we will not last long if we cleave apart from within.
Stumbling, near incoherent words, but Asriel said at last,
She's right.
Moore didn't so much as look in his direction. I could have sworn guilt clouded Asriel's eyes, there and gone in a blink. Amryn stepped back to Nesta's side as Cassian asked me,
What happened with the mirror?
I shook my head.
Kier says it's mine, if I dare to take it. Apparently what you see inside will break you, or drive you insane. No one's ever walked away from it.
Cassian swore.
Exactly,
I said. It was a risk perhaps none of us were entirely prepared to face. Not when we were all needed. Each one of us. Moore added a bit hoarsely, straightening the ebony pleats and panels of her gossamer gown. My father spoke true about that. I was raised with legends of the mirror. None were pleasant or successful. Cassian frowned at me, at Rhys.
So what?
You're talking about the Ouroboros, Amryn said. I blinked. Shit. Shit.
Why do you want that mirror?
Her voice had slipped to a low timbre. Rhys slid his free hand into his pocket.
If honesty is the theme of the night, because the bone carver requested it.
Amryn's nostrils flared.
You went to the prison.
Your old friends, say hello.
Cassian drawled, leaning a shoulder against the sitting room archway. Amryn's face tightened, Nesta glancing between them, carefully, reading us, especially as Amryn's quicksilver eyes swirled.
Why did you go?
I opened my mouth, but the gold of Lucian's eye caught my attention, snared it. My hesitation must have been indication enough of my wariness. Jaw tight with a hint of frustration, Lucian excused himself to his room. Frustration, and perhaps disappointment. I blocked it out, what it did to my stomach.
We had some questions for the carver.
Cassian gave Amryn a slash of a smile when Lucian was gone.
And we have some for you.
Amryn's smoke-filled eyes flared.
You are going to unleash the carver.
I said simply, Yes. A one-monster army.
That is impossible.
I'll remind you that you, sweet Amryn, escaped.
Rhys countered smoothly.
And have stayed free, so it can be done. Perhaps you could tell us how you did it.
Cassian had stationed himself by the doorway, I realized, to be closer to Nesta.
to grab her if Amryn decided she didn't particularly care for where this conversation was headed, or for any of the furniture in this room. Precisely why Rhys now placed himself on Amryn's other side, to draw her attention away from me, and more behind us, every muscle in her lithe body on alert. Cassian was staring at Nesta, hard enough that my sister at last twisted toward him, met his gaze, his head tilted slightly, a silent order. Nesta, to my shock, obeyed, drifted over to Cassian's side as Amryn replied to Rhys, "No."
"It wasn't a request,"
Rhys said. He'd once admitted that merely questioning Amryn had been something she'd allowed him to do only in recent years. But giving her an order? Pushing her like this?
Feyre and Cassian spoke to the bone carver. "He wants the Ouroboros in exchange for serving us, fighting Hybern for us.
But we need you to explain how to get him out."
The bargain Rhys or I would strike with him would suffice to hold him to our will. "Anything else?" Her voice was too calm, too sweet.
"When we're done with all of this,"
Rhys said,
"then my promise from months ago still holds. Use the book to send yourself home, if you want."
Amryn stared up at him. It was so quiet that the clock on the sitting room mantel could be heard, and beyond that, the fountain in the garden.
"Call off your dog," Amryn said with that lethal tone.
Because the shadow in the corner behind Amryn, that was Azriel, the obsidian hilt of truth-teller in his scarred hand. He'd moved without my realizing it, though I had no doubt the others had likely been aware. Amryn bared her teeth at him. Azriel's beautiful face didn't so much as shift. Rhys remained where he was, as he asked Amryn,
"Why won't you tell us?"
Cassian casually slid Nesta behind him, his fingers snagging in the skirts of her black gown, as if to reassure himself that she wasn't in Amryn's direct path. Nesta only rose onto her toes to peer over his shoulder.
"Because the stone beneath this house has ears. The wind has ears. All of it listening," Amryn said. "And if it reports back, they will remember, Rhysand, that they have not caught me. And I will not let them put me in that black pit again."
My ears hollowed out as a shield clicked into place.
"No one will hear beyond this room."
Amryn surveyed the books lying forgotten on the low table in the sitting room. Her brows narrowed.
"I had to give something up. I had to give me up. To walk out, I had to become something else entirely. Something the prison would not recognize. So I bound myself into this body."
I'd never heard her stumble over a word before.
"You said someone else bound you,"
Rhys questioned carefully. "I lied. To cover what I'd done. So none could know. To escape the prison, I made myself mortal. Immortal as you are, but mortal compared to what I was. And what I was, I did not feel the way you do, the way I do now. Some things, loyalty and wrath and curiosity, but not the full spectrum." Again, that faraway look. "I was perfect, according to some. I did not regret, did not mourn, and pain I did not experience it, and yet I wound up here, because I was not quite
like the others.
Even as what I was, I was different. Too curious, too questioning. The day the rip appeared in the sky, it was curiosity that drove me.
My brothers and sisters fled. Upon the orders of our ruler, we had just laid waste to twin cities, smote them wholly into rubble on the plain, and yet they fled from that rip in the world. But I wanted to look. I wanted. I was not built or bred to feel such selfish things as want. I'd seen what happened to those of my kind who strayed, who learned to place their needs first, who developed feeling. But I went through the tear in the sky. And here I am.
And you gave all that up? To get out of prison?
Moore asked softly. I yielded my grace, my perfect immortality. I knew that once I did, I would feel pain and regret. I would want and I would burn with it. I would fall. But I was... the time locked away down there. I didn't care. I had not felt the wind on my face, had not smelled the rain. I did not even remember what they felt like. I did not remember sunlight. It was to Asriel that her attention drifted. The shadow singer's darkness pulling away to reveal eyes full of understanding. Locked away.
So I bound myself into this body. I shoved my burning grace deep into me. I gave up everything I was. The cell door just unlocked. And so I walked out. A burning grace that still smoldered far within her, visible only through the smoke in her gray eyes.
That will be the cost of freeing the carver, Amryn said. You will have to bind him into a body. Make him fey. And I doubt he will agree to it. Especially without the Ouroboros. We were silent.
You should have asked me before you went, she said, that sharpness returning to her tone. I would have spared you the visit.
Rhysand swallowed.
Can you be unbound?
Not by me.
What would happen if you were?
Amryn stared at him for a long while. Then me, Cassian, Asriel, Moore, Nesta. Finally back to my mate.
I would not remember you. I would not care for any of you. I would either smite you or abandon you. But I feel now it would be foreign to me. It would hold no sway. Everything I am, this body, it would cease to be.
What were you? Nesta breathed, coming around Cassian to stand at his side. Amryn toyed with one of her black pearl earrings.
A messenger. And soldier assassin. Or a wrathful god who ruled a young world.
I could feel the questions of the others brewing. Rhys's eyes were near glowing with them.
Was Amryn your name? Nesta asked.
No. The smoke swirled in her eyes. I do not remember the name I was given. I used Amryn because... it's a long story.
I almost begged her to tell it, but soft footsteps thudded, and then...
Oh. Elaine started,
enough so that I realized she couldn't hear us. Had no idea we were here, thanks to the shield that kept sound from escaping. It instantly dropped. But my sister remained near the stairs. She'd covered her nightgown with a silk shawl of palest blue, her fingers grappling into the fabric as she held herself. I went to her immediately. "Do you need anything?"
"No, I was sleeping, but I heard."
She shook her head, blinked at our formal attire, the dark crown atop my head, and Rhysand's.
"I didn't hear you."
Asriel stepped forward.
"But you heard something else."
Elaine seemed about to nod, but only backed away.
"I think I was dreaming," she murmured. "I think I'm always dreaming these days."
"Let me get you some hot milk," I said, putting a hand on her elbow to guide her into the sitting room. But Elaine shook me off, heading back to the stairs. She said as she climbed the first steps,
"I can hear her crying."
I gripped the bottom post of the banister.
"Who?" "Everyone thinks she's dead."
Elaine kept walking.
"But she's not. Only different. Changed. As I was."
"Who?" I pushed. But Elaine continued up the stairs, that shawl drooping down her back. Nesta stalked from Cassian's side to approach my own. We both sucked in a breath. To say what, I didn't know, but...
"What did you see?"
Asriel said. And I tried not to flinch as I found him at my other side, not having seen him move. Again. Elaine paused halfway up the stairs. Slowly, she turned to look back at him.
"I saw young hands wither with age. I saw a box of black stone. I saw a feather of fire land on snow and melt it."
My stomach dropped to the floor. One glance at Nesta confirmed that she felt it too. Saw it. Mad. Elaine might very well have gone mad.
"It was angry,"
Elaine said quietly.
"It was so, so angry that something was taken. So it took something from them as punishment."
We said nothing. I didn't know what to say. What to even ask or demand. If the cauldron had done something to her as well. I faced Asriel, exposing my palms to him. What does she mean? Asriel's hazel eyes churned as he studied my sister, her too thin body. And without a word, he winnowed away. Moore watched the space where he'd been standing, long after he was gone. I waited until the others had left, Cassian and Rhys slipping away to ponder the possibilities, or lack thereof, of our would-be allies, Amran storming off to be rid of us entirely, and Moore striding out to enjoy what she deemed as her last few days of peace in this city, a brittleness still in her voice, before I cornered Nesta in the sitting room. "What happened at the Hewn City? With you and Amran? You didn't mention it."
"It was fine."
I clenched my jaw.
"What happened?"
"She brought me to a room full of treasure. Strange objects. And it..." She tugged at the tight sleeve of her gown. "Some of it wanted to hurt us. As if it were alive. Aware. Like in all those stories and lies we were fed over the wall." "Are you all right?" I couldn't find any signs of harm on either of them, and neither had said anything to suggest. "It was a training exercise, with a form of magic designed to repel intruders." The words were recited. "As the wall will likely be. She wanted me to breach the defenses, find weaknesses." "And repair them?"
just find the weaknesses. Repairing is another thing, Nesta said, her eyes going distant as she frowned at the still open books on the low table before the fireplace. I sighed. So, that went right, at least. Those eyes went razor sharp again. I failed. Every time. So, no. It did not go right. I didn't know what to say. Sympathy would likely earn me a tongue-lashing, so I opted for another route. We need to do something about Elaine. Nesta stiffened. And what solution do you propose, exactly? Letting your mate into her mind to scramble things around? I'd never do that. I don't think Rhys can even fix things like that. Nesta paced in front of the darkened fireplace. Everything has a cost. Maybe the cost of her youth and immortality was losing part of her sanity. My knees wobbled enough that I took a seat on the deep cushioned couch. What was your cost? Nesta stopped moving. Perhaps it was to see Elaine suffer. While I got away unscathed, I shot to my feet. Nesta! Don't bother. But I trailed her as she strode for the stairs, to where Lucian was now descending the steps, and winced at the sight of her approach. He gave her a wide berth as she stormed past him. One look at his taut face had me bracing myself and returning to the sitting room. I slumped into the nearest armchair, surprised to find myself still in my black dress as the fabric scraped against my bare skin. How long had I been back from the Hewn City? 30 minutes? Less? And had the prison only been that morning? It felt like days ago. I rested my head against the embroidered back of the chair and watched Lucian take a seat on the rolled arm of the nearest couch.
Long day.
I grunted my response. The metal eye tightened.
I thought the prison was another myth.
Well, it's not. He weighed my tone and crossed his arms.
Let me do something. About Elaine.
I heard, from my room, everything that happened just now. It wouldn't hurt to have a healer look her over. Externally and internally. I was tired enough that I could barely summon the breath to ask, Do you think the cauldron made her insane?
I think she went through something terrible,
Lucian countered carefully.
And it wouldn't hurt to have your best healer do a thorough examination.
I rubbed my hand over my face. All right. My breath snagged on the words. Tomorrow morning. I managed a shallow nod, rallying my strength to rise from the chair. Heavy. There was an old heaviness in me, like I could sleep for 100 years and it wouldn't be enough.
Please tell me. Lucian said when I crossed the threshold into the foyer. What the healer says. And if you need me for anything.
I gave him one final nod, speech suddenly beyond me. I knew Nesta wasn't asleep as I walked past her room. Knew she'd heard every word of our conversation thanks to that fey hearing. And I knew she heard as I listened at Elaine's door, knocked once, and poked my head in to find her asleep, breathing. I sent a request to Maja, Rhysand's preferred healer, to come the next day at 11. I did not explain why, or who, or what. Then went into my bedroom, crawled onto the mattress, and cried. I didn't really know why. Strong, broad hands rubbed down my spine, and I opened my eyes to find the room wholly black, Rhysand perched on the mattress beside me.
Do you want anything to eat?
His voice was soft, tentative. I didn't raise my head from the pillow. I feel heavy again, I breathed, voice breaking. Rhys said nothing as he gathered me up into his arms. He was still in his jacket, as if he'd just come in from wherever he'd been talking with Cassian. In the dark, I breathed in his scent. Savored his warmth.
Are you all right?
Rhys was quiet for a long minute.
No.
I slid my arms around him, holding him tightly.
I should have found another way, he said.
I stroked my fingers through his silken hair. Rhys murmured,
If she...
His swallow was audible.
If she showed up at this house...
I knew who he meant.
I would kill her. Without even letting her speak, I would kill her.
I know.
I would too. You asked me at the library,
he whispered.
Why I'd rather take all of this upon myself. Tonight is why. Seeing Moore cry is why. I made a bad call. Tried to find some other way around this shithole we're in.
And had lost something. Moore had lost something in the process. We held each other in silence for minutes. Hours. Two souls twining in the dark. I lowered my shields, let him in fully. His mind curled around mine. Would you risk looking into it? The Ouroboros? I asked.
Not yet,
was all Rhys said, holding me tighter.
Not yet.
Chapter 28. I dragged myself out of bed by sheer will the next morning. Amryn had said the Carver wouldn't bind himself into a fey body, had claimed that. But it wouldn't hurt to try. If it gave us the slightest chance of holding out, of keeping Rhys from giving everything. He was already gone by the time I awoke. I gritted my teeth as I dressed in my leathers and winnowed to the House of Wind. I had my wings ready as I hit the wards protecting it, and managed a decent enough glide into the open-air training ring on its flat top. Cassian was already waiting, hands on his hips, watching as I eased down, down. Too fast. My feet skipped over the dirt, bouncing me up, up.
Back flap.
His warning was too late. I slammed into a wall of crimson before I could get a face full of the ruddy rock, but I swore, pride-skinned as much as my palms, as I staggered back, my wings unwieldy behind me. Cassian's shoulders shook as he reined in a laugh, and I gave him a vulgar gesture in return.
If you go in for a landing that way, make sure you have room.
I scowled. Lesson learned.
Or space to bank and circle until you slow.
I get it. Cassian held up his hands, but the amusement faded as he watched me dismiss the wings and stalk toward him.
You want to go hard today or take it easy?
I didn't think the others gave him enough credit. For noticing the shift in someone's emotional current. To command legions, I supposed, he needed to be able to read that sort of thing. Judge when his soldiers or enemies were strong or breaking or broken. I peered inside, to that place where I now felt like quicksand, and said, Hard. I want to limp out of here. I peeled off the leather jacket and rolled up the sleeves of my white shirt. Cassian swept an assessing stare over me. He murmured,
It helps me, too. The physical activity. The training.
He rolled his shoulders as I began to stretch.
It's always helped me focus and center myself. And after last night...
He tied back his dark hair.
I definitely need it. This.
I held my leg folded behind me. My muscles protesting at the stretch. I suppose there are worse methods of coping? A lopsided grin.
Indeed there are.
Azrael's lesson afterward consisted of standing in a breeze and trying to memorize his instructions on currents and downdrafts, on how heat and cold could shape wind and speed. Throughout it he was quiet, removed. Even by his standards.
I made the mistake of asking if he'd spoken to Moore since he'd left last night. No, he had not, and that was that. Even if he kept flexing his scarred hand at his side, as if recalling the sensation of the hand she'd whipped free of his touch during that meeting, over and over. I didn't dare tell him that he'd made the right call, that perhaps he should talk to Moore rather than let the guilt eat at him. The two of them had enough between them without me shoving myself into it. I was indeed limping by the time I returned to the townhouse hours later, finding Moore at the dining table, munching on a giant pastry she'd grabbed from a bakery on her way in.
"You look like a team of horses trampled you," she said around her food.
"Good," I said, taking the pastry out of her hand and finishing it off. She squawked in outrage, but snapped her fingers, and a plate of carved melon from the kitchen down the hall appeared on the polished table before her. Right atop the pile of what looked to be letters on various pieces of stationery.
"What's that?"
I said, wiping the crumbs from my mouth.
"The first of the High Lord's responses," she said sweetly, plucking up a slice of the green fruit and biting off a chunk. No hint of last night's rage and fear.
"That pleasant, hmm?"
"Helians came first this morning. Between all the innuendo, I think he said he'd be willing to join us."
I lifted my brows.
"That's good, isn't it?"
A shrug.
"Helian, we weren't worried about the other two."
She finished off the melon, chewing wetly.
"Theisen says he'll come, but won't do it unless it's in a truly neutral and safe location. Callias? He doesn't trust any of us after Under the Mountain. He wants to bring armed guards."
Day, Dawn, and Winter. Our closest allies. "No word from anyone else?" My gut tightened.
"Nope. Spring, Autumn, and Summer haven't sent a reply."
"We don't have much time until the meeting. What if they refuse to reply at all?" I didn't have the nerve to wonder aloud if Eris would be good to his word and make sure his father attended and joined our cause, not with the light back in her face. Moore picked up another slice of melon.
"Then we'll have to decide if Rhys and I will go drag them by their necks to this meeting, or if we'll have it without them."
"I'd suggest the second option." Moore furrowed her brows. "The first," I clarified, "doesn't sound conducive to actually forming an alliance." Though I was surprised that Tarquin hadn't responded, even with his blood feud with us. The male I'd met, whom I still admired so much, surely he'd want to ally against Highburn. Unless he now wanted to ally with them, to ensure Rhys and I were wiped off the map forever.
"We'll see,"
was all Moore said. I blew out a breath through my nose. "About last night."
"It's fine. It's nothing."
The swiftness with which she spoke suggested anything but. "It's not nothing. You're allowed to feel that way." Moore fluffed her hair.
"Well, it won't help us win the war."
"No, but I'm not sure what to say." Moore stared toward the window for a long moment. "I understand why Rhys did it. The position we were in. Eris is... you know what he's like. And if he was indeed threatening to sell information about your gifts to his father? Mother above, I would have made the same bargain with Eris to keep Baron from hunting you." Something in my chest eased at that.
"It's just... my father knew. The second he heard of this place, he probably knew what it meant to me. There would have been no other asking price for my father's help in this war. None. Rhys knew that as well. Tried to bring Eris into it to sweeten the deal for my father, to possibly avoid this outcome with Valaris altogether."
I raised my brows in silent question.
"We talked. Rhys and I, this morning. While Cassian was kicking your ass."
I snorted.
"What about Azriel?"
So much for my decision to stay out of it. Moore resumed picking at the melon.
"As He had a tough call to make when Eris found him. He...
She chewed on her lip.
I don't know why I expected him to side with me. Why it caught me so off guard.
I refrained from suggesting she tell him that. Moore shrugged.
It all took me by surprise, and I will never be happy about any of these terms, but... My father wins, Eris wins, all the males like them win if I let it get to me. If I let it impact my joy, my life, my relationships with all of you.
She sighed at the ceiling.
I hate war.
Likewise.
Not just for the death and awfulness, Moore went on, but because of what it does to us. These decisions.
I nodded, even if I was only starting to understand the choices and the costs. I opened my mouth, but a knock on the front door sounded. I glanced to the clock in the sitting room across the foyer.
Right. The healer.
I'd mentioned to Elaine this morning that Maja was coming to see her at 11, and I'd gotten a non-committal response. Better than outright refusal, I supposed.
Are you going to answer the door? Or should I?
I made a vulgar gesture at the sheer sass in Moore's question, but my friend gripped my hand as I rose from my chair.
If you need anything, I'll be right here.
I gave Moore a small, grateful smile.
As will I.
She was still smiling at me as I took a deep breath before heading for the entry. The healer found nothing. I believed her, if only because Maja was one of the few High Fae I'd seen whose dark skin was etched with wrinkles, her hair spindrift fine with age. Her brown eyes were still clear and kindled with an inner warmth, and her knobby hands remained steady as she passed them over Elaine's body while my sister lay patiently, silently on the bed. Magic. Sweet and cooling had thrummed from the female, filling Elaine's bedroom. And when she had gently laid her hands on either side of Elaine's head, and I'd started, Maja had only smiled wryly over her thin shoulder and told me to relax. Nesta, sharp-eyed in the corner, had kept quiet. After a long minute, Maja asked us to join her in fetching Elaine a cup of tea, with a pointed glance to the door. We both took the invitation and left our sister in her sunlit room.
"What do you mean nothing is wrong with her?"
Nesta hissed under her breath as the ancient female braced a hand on the stair railing to help herself down. I kept beside the healer, a hand in easy reach of her elbow, should she need it. Maja, I reminded myself, had healed Cassian and Asriel, and countless injuries beyond that. She'd healed Rhys's wings during the war. She looked ancient, but I had no doubt of her stamina, or sheer will to help her patients. Maja didn't deign to answer Nesta until we were at the bottom of the steps. Lucian was already waiting in the sitting room, Moore still lingering in the dining room. Both of them rose to their feet, but remained in their respective rooms, flanking the foyer.
"What I mean," Maja said at last, sizing up Nesta, then me, "is that I can find nothing wrong with her. Her body is fine, too thin and in need of more food and fresh air, but nothing amiss. And as for her mind, I cannot enter it."
I blinked. "She has a shield?"
"She is cauldron made," the healer said,
again looking over Nesta.
"You are not like the rest of us. I cannot pierce the places it left its mark most deeply."
The mind, the soul. She shot me a warning glance.
"And I would not try if I were you, lady."
"But do you think there's something wrong? Even if there are no signs?" Nesta pushed.
"I have seen the victims of trauma before. Her symptoms match well with many of those invisible wounds. But she was also made by something I do not understand.
Is there something wrong with her? Maja chewed over the words. I do not like that word. Wrong. Different, perhaps. Changed.
Does she need further help? Nesta said through her teeth.
The ancient healer jerked her chin toward Lucian.
See what he can do. If anyone can sense if something is amiss, it's a mate. How?
The word was barely more than a barked command. I braced myself to warn Nesta to be polite, but Maja said to my sister, as if she were a small child,
The mating bond. It is a bridge between souls.
The healer's tone made my sister stiffen, but Maja was already hobbling for the front door. She pointed at Lucian as she saw herself out.
Try sitting down with her, just talking, sensing. See what you pick up. But don't push.
Then she was gone. I whirled on Nesta. A little respect, Nesta.
Call another healer.
Not if you're going to bark them out of the house.
Call another healer.
Moore strode for us with deceptive calm, and Nesta gave her a withering glare. I caught Lucian's eye. Would you try it? Nesta snarled.
Don't you even attempt. Be quiet, I snapped.
Nesta blinked. I bared my teeth at her.
He will try. And if he doesn't find anything amiss, we'll consider bringing another healer. You're just going to drag her down here?
I'm going to invite her. Nesta faced Moore, still watching from the archway.
And what will you be doing?
Moore gave my sister a half-smile.
I'll be sitting with Feyre, keeping an eye on things.
Lucian muttered something about not needing to be monitored, and we all looked at him with raised brows. He just lifted his hands, claimed he wanted to freshen up, and headed down the hall. Chapter 29 It was the most uncomfortable 30 minutes I could recall. Moore and I sipped chilled mint tea by the bay window, the replies of the three High Lords piled on the little table between our twin chairs, pretending to be watching the summer-kissed street beyond us, the children, High Fae and Fairy, darting about with kites and streamers and all manner of toys. Pretending, while Lucian and Elaine sat in stilted silence by the dim fireplace, an untouched tea service between them. I didn't dare ask if he was trying to get into her head, or if he was feeling a bond similar to that black adamant bridge between Rhys's mind and my own, if a normal mating bond felt wholly different. A teacup rattled and rasped against a saucer, and Moore and I glanced over. Elaine had picked up the teacup, and now sipped from it without so much as looking toward him. In the dining room across the hall, I knew Nesta was craning her neck to look. Knew because Amryn snapped at my sister to pay attention. They were building walls. In their minds, Amryn had told me as she ordered Nesta to sit in the dining room table directly across from her. Walls that Amryn was teaching her to sense, to find the holes she'd laid throughout, and repair them. If the fell objects at the Court of Nightmares had not allowed my sister to grasp what must be done, then this was their next attempt. A different invisible route. Not all magic was flash and glittering, Amryn had declared. And then, shoot me out. But any sign of that power within my sister? I did not hear it, or see it, or feel it. And neither offered any explanation for what it was exactly that they were trying to coax from within her. Outside the house, movement again caught our eye, and we found Rhys and Cassian strolling in through the low front gate, returning from their meeting with the Kyr's Darkbringer army commanders, already rallying and preparing. At least that much had gone right yesterday. Both of them spotted us in the window within a heartbeat, stopped cold.
Don't come in, I warned him through the bond. Lucian is trying to sense what's wrong with Elaine. Through the bond.
Rhys murmured what I'd said to Cassian, who now angled his head, much in the way I had no doubt Nesta had done, to peer beyond us.
Rhys said wryly,
"Does Elaine know this?"
"She was invited down for tea, so we're having it."
Rhys muttered again to Cassian, who choked on a laugh and turned right around, heading into the street. Rhys lingered, sliding his hands into his pockets.
"He's getting a drink. I'm inclined to join him. When can I return without fearing for my life?"
I gave him a vulgar gesture through the window. "Such a big, strong Illyrian warrior."
"Illyrian warriors know when to pick their battles. And with Nesta watching everything like a hawk, and you two circling like vultures? I know who will walk away from that fight."
I made the gesture again, and Moore figured out enough of what was being said that she echoed the movement. Rhys laughed quietly and sketched a bow.
"The High Lords sent replies," I said as he strolled away. "Day, dawn, and winter will come."
"I know," he said, "and I just received word from Cressida that Tarquin is contemplating it."
"Better than nothing," I said as much. Rhys smiled at me over his shoulder.
"Enjoy your tea, you overbearing chaperone."
"I could have used a chaperone around you, you realize."
"You had 4 of them in this house."
I smiled as he finally reached the low front gate where Cassian waited, apparently using the momentary delay to stretch out his wings, to the delight of the half-dozen children now gawking at them.
Amryn hissed from the other room.
"Focus!"
The dining table rattled. The sound seemed to startle Elaine, who swiftly set down her teacup. She rose to her feet, and Lucian shot to his.
"I'm sorry,"
he blurted.
What was that?"
Moore put a hand on my knee to keep me from rising, too.
It was a tug on the bond."
Amryn snapped,
"Don't you—" "Wicked girl."
Then Nesta was standing in the threshold.
"What did you do?"
The words were as sharp as a blade. Lucian looked to her, then over to me, a muscle feathered in his jaw.
"Nothing," he said,
and again faced his mate.
"I'm sorry if that unsettled you."
Elaine sidled toward Nesta, who seemed to be at a near simmer.
"It felt strange,"
Elaine breathed.
"Like you pulled on a thread tied to a rib."
Lucian exposed his palms to her.
"I'm sorry."
Elaine only stared at him for a long moment, and any lucidity faded away as she shook her head, blinking twice, and said to Nesta,
"Twin ravens are coming, one white and one black."
Nesta hid the devastation well, the frustration.
"What can I get you, Elaine?"
Only with Elaine did she use that voice. But Elaine shook her head once more.
"Sunshine."
Nesta cut me a furious stare before guiding our sister down the hall, to the sunny garden in the back. Lucian waited until the glass door had opened and closed before he loosed a long breath.
"There's a bond. It's a real thread,"
he said, more to himself than us.
"And?"
Moore asked. Lucian ran both hands through his long red hair. His skin was darker, a deep golden brown compared to the paleness of Eris's coloring.
"And I got to Elaine's end of it when she ran off."
"Did you sense anything?"
"No. I didn't have time. I felt her, but—"
A blush stained his cheek. Whatever he'd felt, it wasn't what we were looking for, even if we had no idea what precisely that was. "We can try again, another day," I offered. Lucian nodded but looked unconvinced. Amryn snapped from the dining room.
Someone go retrieve your sister. Her lesson isn't over.
I sighed. Yes, Amryn. Lucian's attention slid behind me.